Catholic vitamins, vitamin I, inspiration with guest Renee Bondi, episode 65.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Advent greetings, everyone. It's Deacon Tom.
And Dee.
We're glad you're with us for what we hope will be an inspiring show. And Dee, that's our Catholic vitamin for today.
It is.
Catholic vitamin I, inspiration.
We've had two I's.
Yes, we have. It's not often that we're going to repeat our vitamins, but I think inspiration is a good one to have a second and maybe multiple doses of. All of us need inspiration from time to time. And I ask you before we started recording, have you had any experience or anything that you could say was inspiring to you that you might mention on the show?
One thing that came to me was just since we've been here in Arizona, which we've only been here a few years, but I got to learn about a group of ladies, a very small group of ladies who meet once a week at our church for a Marian Cenacle Hour.
Uh-huh.
And so I went one day to join them, and I just fell in love with that hour. I fell in love with going there with them every week and spending 1 hour, one very quiet hour. So I'd say that's an inspiration. They inspired me to do something good.
I'll ask you, but I'll take the pressure off, if there's any... I wish you would have said your deacon husband. Okay. She's not smiling. I'll move on. if there's been any person experience that has been an inspiration to you. And over on the DeaconTomOnline.com website, there's a short version of someone who was a great inspiration to me, who helped begin to change my life, and he was a Jewish businessman. I didn't even have a relationship with him in the faith sense. I had a business relationship. And he did some things that were very inspiring in his life, and it was helpful to begin a change in my life. And that's really what's behind this show, is seeking inspiration in the places that you can find it and from the people you can find it.
I agree. Also, I think we both would agree, and we've mentioned this before, I think, on previous podcasts, that a priest in Florida many, many years ago inspired us tremendously.
Right, right. Father Patrick J. O'Doherty, and he's had some to do with our website, and we keep him in prayer. And there's been other priests. I remember Father Marcel, the African priest, who was my spiritual director for 2 years when I was in deacon formation, first 2 years, and then he went back to Africa.
Father Marcel with the huge hands.
Yes, yes.
He was a very gentle soul.
Absolutely. Well, that's the beginning of our show. We are sitting at a counter between our living room and our kitchen, and the reason we're here...
The podcast studio is torn apart.
Yeah, everything in the back part of our house is torn apart because we are in the process
of... Repainting and recarpeting.
Yep.
And that requires... massive moves of furniture and books.
Don't mention books. Yikes. What a touchy subject it is normally around here.
And you're going to be weeding out during this process, aren't you?
Well, or as we start to restack.
Or organize better. Right.
Yes, of course, of course. Let's all watch Better Homes and Gardens TV with Dee and live in a dream world. All right, we'll be back. Why don't we do this break? And instead of little bumper music that we use... Why don't we play our first song by Renee Bondi, I Can Do All Things in Christ.
Mm-hmm. gifted were likely to succeed. Never felt a calling like the voices on TV. But I have learned a secret. It's a place that I have seen, where ordinary people do extraordinary things.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in anything, in everything. I've learned to be content.
The gates of hell cannot resist God's people.
If you've ever been to an event where Rene Bondi speaks and sings, well, all I can tell you is that I've seen high-powered, multi-million-dollar executives with tears of joy and inspiration running down their cheeks. I saw this at a Legatus conference in Denver, where Rene was the featured speaker. Legatus is an organization started by Tom Monahan, the founder of Domino's Pizza. Legatus is the worldwide group he started to get high-level Catholic executives to take on major projects for the good of their communities and for the church. That night in Denver, Rene Bondi did an almost magical transformation from presenting herself as a quadriplegic in a forever wheelchair to a woman of astounding inspiration who had executives on their feet, inspired to go and make a difference. My wife Dee and I were so blessed that night to be invited to sit at the head table and have dinner with Rene and her husband and a few other friends. She was kind and gracious to us ordinary people, not so inspiring. We were sitting at her table, and it was a great joy. I welcome Rene Bondi to Catholic Vitamins, and she'll join us soon. Today on Catholic Vitamins is the exciting speaker, motivator, singer, Rene Bondi. And I have just been so anxious to do this for so long. Rene, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Hello, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know that I have been
in your corner in many ways, prayers and sometimes with tears in my eyes, Ben. I've been promoting you for a long time, but I'm going to start by saying, you know, each of these programs brings its audience, and some will be new to the name Renee Bondi. So why don't we start at the beginning and tell us about the young Renee.
Was there a young Renee at one point? I am a farmer's daughter. I'm born and raised in Southern California, right between Los Angeles and San Diego, in the middle of an orange grove. My father was a citrus grower, so we were right, literally, our home was right in the middle of a huge orange orchard. So my upbringing was barefoot, running through the orange groves on the way over to run over to saddle up my horse and go riding for the day. Definitely grew up in a ranching setting where, you know, you took off at 10 o'clock in the morning and your parents didn't see you until 6 o'clock at night.
Sounds innocent.
That kind of wonderful freedom that you had growing up in those days. We were raised in a very strong Catholic home where Mass was important. Every Sunday, if not a couple times, in the middle of the week for daily Mass. And I'm a product of Catholic school K through 12. I was raised by the Marinoles, K through 6th grade, and then the Franciscan nuns, 7th and 8th grade, and then the Sisters of Precious Blood in high school. I have wonderful memories of being with these lovely servants of God. They influenced my walk with the Lord greatly. So that was pretty much my upbringing. My family would tell you that I was very good-natured growing up. I laughed my way through high school. I laughed my way through college. Really didn't have much anger on board. Of course, that showed up later, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in a couple minutes.
Sure. So as you're beginning to get us close to womanhood, What did you want to be? What was your vision of your future?
Oh, I loved music. And my plan, simply put, was to be a high school choir director and to be married one day and raise kids. Now, that the first two sounded great to me, the part about teaching and the part about being married. Raising kids scared me to death. Because I'm the youngest of four children, I really hadn't even babysat much. I was just really wasn't used to having, you know, babies and toddlers around me. So I wasn't quite sure how that motherhood part would go. But I remember consciously thinking, well, how many mothers are there in this world? There are a gazillion. And if they pulled it off, I suppose I can too. But my plan really was to be married and be able to teach, and that really became my love.
Just as a sidebar, did you want to teach music or someone?
Yes, to be able to be a high school choir director, vocal music was always my love. I couldn't imagine teaching band; I'd go crazy. But teaching vocal music, choir. Was definitely my passion. And so that did come to fruition. I did end up finishing my degree in music education and got a job at the local public high school here in Southern California where I was living and ended up actually becoming Teacher of the Year just a couple weeks, actually. I was voted Teacher of the Year for my high school just a couple weeks before my injury, actually.
I don't know if a deacon can say this, but I think I would have brought you apples every week if you were my teacher.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, so our topic today, our Catholic vitamin for today is vitamin I, inspiration. And I've been in the audience personally listening to you share your story, and I hope that it's available on your website in a more expanded version. But for those...
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Sure, sure. We'll put links to that in our show notes for today's show and really encourage listeners to learn the fullness of what we'll hear in brief. Something began to happen, or something did happen, that began to change your life. Can you share that with us?
Sure. When I was 29 years old, at that time I had been teaching for 4 years at the high school where I was, where I spoke of earlier. I was engaged to be married. Our wedding was just 2 months away. I was really excited about our wedding coming up and our future, because I really truly was, as cheesy as this might sound, I really was marrying my best friend. Mike and I had been dating for 3 years. We had been engaged for a year. And there was something about this guy that I was really, really attracted to. And for your listeners that are single, I have to tell you, he was nothing like my checklist. Nothing at all. Okay. My checklist at all. And come on, we women, we all have our checklists. And when we're dating. And my list was 6'3", 6'4", kind of quiet, shy musician type. And here, Mike, I'd met through a friend, and he was just this nice guy, 5'8". Wouldn't call him shy. He was pretty loud, pretty funny, and couldn't sing his way out of a bucket. And so I found myself actually attracted to him because of his faith. He was a Stevens minister at his parish, where he did a lot of going into people's homes, shut-ins, just people that needed somebody to talk to. And here he was doing this at 25 years old.
Wow.
And I remember kind of looking at him twice going, you know, who is this guy? And we just hit it off. And bottom line is, it turned into more. And now here we're looking at our future, being married and our wedding just 2 months away. Well, just the night before, we had been dancing, chaperoning the prom where I was teaching, the high school prom where I was teaching, and he had surprised me with my engagement ring. Even though we had been engaged for a year, he hadn't been able to afford my ring. And so he had been making payments on it and surprised me with it at dinner. So we had a very romantic dinner, and then we went to the prom and danced. The next day, he flew back to Colorado. He was living in Colorado at the time, working. And I went over to the high school to conduct the orchestra in the spring musical. I went to bed that night feeling great because, as I had said earlier, I had just been awarded Teacher of the Year, and this had been a sold-out crowd that we had performed to that afternoon. And I had made some last-minute arrangements for the wedding, picking up the bridesmaids' dresses, and it had just been a banner weekend, just a beautiful weekend. The next thing I know, I woke up out of a sound, deep sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning, diving off the end of my bed onto my head, breaking my neck at cervical vertebrae 4, leaving me quadriplegic and permanently confined to a wheelchair. To this day, Tom, we still have absolutely no idea what happened. I don't have any history of sleepwalking or any kind of disease that would cause a seizure. The only thing we can think of is that I must have been having some sort of a dream where I was diving, which still makes no sense to me because I was no jock before this, and to be doing some Mexico cliff diving makes no sense to me at all. But that literally was the position that I was in when I awoke. That was 22 years ago, and God has been incredibly faithful throughout the whole thing. initially thought, what in the world does this all mean? How in the world can I be dancing one day and the next day told by the doctors that I would never walk again, that I would never have functional use of my legs or my hands again? But 1 year after I got out of the hospital, Mike and I got married. Right around that same time, the pastor at our parish asked if I would come be the youth choir director. And I thought, how in the world can I do that? My hands don't work. I can't even turn the pages of the music. I was confined, I still am confined to a wheelchair, a motorized wheelchair. So I took that job at the church that my pastor had offered to me, and ended up having 150 students in my youth choirs there, which was super therapy for me. Then, about 4 years later, my singing voice started coming back stronger and stronger, even though the doctors said that I would never sing again. And my voice started coming back stronger and stronger to where I started recording and traveling throughout the country as a recording artist and a speaker. So my favorite scripture is Philippians 1:6. It's become a life verse for Mike and me. There, St. Paul is saying, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. This, I believe wholeheartedly, Tom, because I've lived it. If you had ever told me 22 years ago when I was laying in ICU being told that I would never, ever walk again, sing again, at that time, I was crying, saying, how in the world can I live this way as a quadriplegic, joyfully, laughing? I did not have the answer. I didn't have it at the time. How could that be? But now, 22 years later, I can tell you that it is only, and I mean only, by the grace of God when we keep our eyes focused on Him. He delivers. I am now married for the last 21 years. I gave birth to a beautiful boy who is now 15 years old and a great guy, really nice guy, just like his dad. Great volleyball player, loves to sing just like his mom, plays guitar, and sings in the worship band at his Catholic high school. So life is rich. It's not easy. It's not a cakewalk. But it's very rich.
As you know, because we've been together in Denver for one of your appearances.
Yes, it was at the Legatus event.
Yeah, it was.
It was at their executive board meeting for the Legatus. Yes, I remember that.
Thank you so much. It's a great joy to have been with you personally, and so honored to be able to sit at the head table and have dinner with you and Mike, and to share a little bit. It was a great evening. I think I shared with you in an email that I have been working with a writer, Teresa Doyle Nelson, and we're just making arrangements for her to come on Catholic Vitamins in a while.
Oh, good, good.
And she says that she doesn't know you all that well, but she was in a parish, maybe still, I'm not sure, but no, I guess she's in Texas now, but she was in the same parish as you, and she said that that when she would see you at the end of Mass, you would be swarmed by people, and you've touched so many minds and hearts, and, you know, you've had me in tears and many others. I saw many adults who were in tears listening to your story. You've been this inspiration to many, and you've already said that it hasn't been easy, that it's been hard. What are you looking for these days? And where do you think you're headed? Where's your compass point?
Well, first of all, I want to address that first part where you're talking about after Mass being swamped by people. I think, actually, Tom, I don't see it as people being attracted to necessarily me personally. Although it's a compliment, when people say that, it warms my heart. But I know what I'm attracted to in people. I am attracted to knowing the God that they serve. When I see somebody like a Johnny Erickson Tada, or a Mother Teresa, or somebody that is just one of those sweet women that go to daily mass at your church, that maybe are 75 years old, that have walked with the Lord for years and years now, and they have that sweet peace about them. I love to sit with them over a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and say, tell me about the God you serve. Tell me how God has worked in your life. And I think when people perhaps see me on stage or after mass or excuse me, up on the altar leading music, I think they want more to know that. Not, oh, wow, Renee Bondi, woo-woo, but more of, I want to know somebody who has walked through the trenches with the Lord, and how did you come out the other side? And that, I think, perhaps is what people are more attracted to than just, you know, somebody by the name of Renee Bondi. What really is the compass point for me these days? You're asking maybe what do I have coming in the future? It's interesting that you asked that just today, because when I get off the phone here with you today, I need to be speaking to a publisher who is interested in publishing my next book, which just always is amazing to me that I even say that, to be frank. That the Lord would allow me, that people would be interested in, again, knowing how I've come out the other end, laughing and singing in this wheelchair. But the plan for our next book, it's a working title. We're not exactly sure what the title will be at this point. Right now, the working title is called A Symphony of Praise, where we talk about, right, we'll be writing and talking about the power of praising the Lord in the darkest of times, even when we just don't feel like it. To be frank, there have been definite times where I've been crabby, where I've been cranky, where I just want to use my hands to be able to pick up that piece of paper or to help my son through cleaning out his room and help, you know, teaching him how to file things and stay organized. Kind of not on the radar of a 15-year-old sophomore boy. those kind of things were sometimes, I ache and I get frustrated because I want to have my body to be able to do these things. And I learned about 2 or 3 years ago, in one of my darker times, where I said, Lord, I need some new tools. I'm just getting crabby and I'm tired. And what I got in prayer was, praise me. Praise me. And I knew that I wanted to be one of those women that praised the Lord even in the dark times. And so I dug into Scripture and I started looking at all the times when people in biblical times praised the Lord while facing insurmountable tasks, facing those big mountains, when Jehoshaphat had the army coming at him, when Solomon had to build the temple, all these times where people had huge things in front of them. Moses just, you know, being told that he had to be doing huge things. How did they treat it? How did they keep going? And it was in keeping their eyes focused on the Lord and in praising God throughout the whole time. And so that is what this book is going to be, really pulling out biblical stories of people praising God through tough times and also times just in my own personal life. examples of times where it was truly, as it says in Hebrews, a sacrifice of praise. But out of pure obedience, when I say, Lord, I'm tired, I'm so sick of this, but Lord, I thank you that I can come to you. I praise you for what I have. I praise you for this wheelchair that is working. I praise you for this comfortable bed that I get to sleep in. I praise you for the roof over my head. I praise you that I can look, that I have my sight, that I can see the clouds in the sky. And boy, Tom, the more I would do that consistently over and over and over again, the more it started changing my heart, which changed my mind, which changed my focus, which ultimately changed my attitude. And so I'm looking forward to recording a new CD of praise music and being able to release a book titled The Symphony of Praise on the topic of praising the Lord, even in the difficult times.
To our listeners to Catholic Vitamins, you now know why I think the Lord put on my heart to call Renee and ask her to be a guest for this show on inspiration. Wow. I want to buy an advance copy of your book when it's ready.
Aww.
And I'll look forward to the CD on praise music too.
Thank you, Tom. But I want you and your listeners to know that, you know, I am not Miss Pollyanna by nature. I'm not one that just says, "Hoopta, hallelujah, praise the Lord." It didn't come naturally to me. If you listen to my first two CDs early on after my injury, you won't find one praise song on it because I wasn't there. That wasn't where I was. I went to the Lord for guidance, for wisdom, for strength. But you won't hear a bunch of hand clapping stuff on there. It was more quiet. It was more of the "Be not afraid, I go before you always,"
right,
"and I will raise you up on eagle's wings." That type of music, songs of strength and hope, but over really, truly, just a spiritual discipline of walking with the Lord for years, or as I would say, rolling with the Lord for years. I think we have to change it up. I think what happens is that, you know, you can't be serving the same food on the table every day to your family. They get bored. And so for me, I made a commitment, as I said, 2 or 3 years ago when I was getting cranky. I was getting kind of stale in my relationship with the Lord, that it really, truly became a spiritual discipline. So I don't want your listeners to think, oh, my gosh, you know, Renee is this kind of person that always, you know, takes the high road on everything. No, there's been times where I've really struggled, and I've had kind of a boxing match at times with the Lord. But the important part is to keep the communication open. And then finally, I look at a kind of a 2-year-old toddler that keeps pounding on their dad's chest saying, "No, no, 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 I don't want that." But finally, they give up because they get tired. And finally, their head rests on the shoulder of their dad. Finally, after a big old temper tantrum, and yeah, I've had them. Boy, I've had them. But finally, I take a big breath. I get exhausted screaming, and I finally lay my head on the shoulder of my Heavenly Father and say, "Lord, I'm going to stay with you. I don't want to be anywhere but with you." And that has come from consistent communication with my Lord.
Praise God, Renee. Praise God. As we move towards a close, I'm looking at a list of venues that you've appeared at, that you've spoken at: Time Out for Women, Heritage Keepers, Women's Conference, National Catholic Youth Conference. I saw a picture of Holy Father John Paul II approaching you, maybe even reaching out to touch you at perhaps World Youth Day.
Yes, it was World Youth Day Denver.
Oh, gosh, Renee. That picture alone brings me to tears. Just beautiful, and I share a love of the Rockies with you and with Mike. Is there anything that we can do or call attention to, or a recent album or a new album that you'd like to tell us about?
Well, I would love to point your listeners to my Christmas CD. It's titled My Christmas Wish, and it has all the favorites, or at least my favorites, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, What Child Is This, Silent Night, O Holy Night, the Ave Maria, and then a couple of original songs called A Capistrano Christmas Eve. My hometown is San Juan Capistrano, Southern California, and of course the title song, an original song that I wrote with my wonderful arranger friend, James May, titled My Christmas Wish. And so hopefully it will bless you and the people that I've always already seen quite a bit of response from the CD, and how it really points them home warmly to the Lord. So I invite you to come to my website, reneebondi.com. It's R-E-N-E-E, B as in boy, B-O-N-D-I.com. Or search me on Facebook as well, and you can find the CD there.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, I really could stay with you for a much longer time, but I promised that we would watch our time because you do have other calls to make. Any closing words of inspiration or hope for those who are facing some unpleasant circumstances in their life?
What I would like to say is that a relationship with our Heavenly Father and with His Son Jesus, it takes work. Now, not hard work, but it takes commitment. And just like any relationship, a relationship with a parent, a relationship with a spouse, a relationship with a child, it takes open communication, open and honest communication. So I would encourage your listeners to persevere in that relationship. If you find yourself stagnant or stale, then it's time to change up the recipe. If you've been going to the same parish, to the same church for years and years and years, and all of a sudden you're feeling dry, then I would encourage you to get into a Bible study, to open up Scripture. If you don't know where to start, start with the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and read a chapter a day. And before you start reading, ask the Lord in prayer, say, Lord, will you open my eyes and ears to what you want me to hear from you today in your word. After you've read the chapter, stop, be quiet, be still, and say, Lord, speak to me in this quiet time. Do that. Sit still for 5 minutes. Do you know how hard that is in this day and age?
Oh, it's
amazingly so. It just drives me crazy. And then after that, say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to sit with you. I want to love you. I do love you. I praise you. And doing this consistently will create that relationship that will be open and honest with our Lord. And to me, that is something that it takes our step. We all say, where's God amidst the suffering? Where's God in the midst of all this? Well, are we spending our time with Him? And it makes a huge difference when we stop and make that commitment on a daily level. So that is my encouragement to you, Tom, and to your listeners, to change it up, do something fresh, do something new to keep your relationship with Jesus open and new and fresh.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins has been our inspiration coach, Renee Bondi, telling us to lift it up and try something new. Great, great words. And as we head towards the season of the Babe of Bethlehem. I'm so glad that we were able to spend time with you, Renee. I bless you and lift you up in prayer, and thank you for this.
Tom, I thank you for your friendship over the years. I thank you for your prayer. I am sure that's why I've been staying healthy and doing well and traveling so much. I look forward to meeting some of your listeners, hopefully across the country. Give me a call or check out our website at reneebonnie.com, and maybe we can come and have that cup of tea and cup of coffee again. All right, Tom?
Thank you so much. Blessings.
Thank you to you, too.
What an inspiration it was to have Renee Bonnie Dear as our guest on Catholic Vitamins. What an inspiring woman she is. What a great story.
Very inspiring. And the only thing better than having her on our show would be to be sitting in her audience again like we did once before.
Yeah, except we were up close and really a part of that evening, weren't
yes,
we?
Yes.
Well, what have we got? We have any feedback about our prior show?
Our Innocence show?
Yeah.
Everybody loved that. How could you not love kids,
I know.
Right? Shelley down in Texas, whose daughters we featured on that show, she said, you did a beautiful job with it. Had me smiling and laughing throughout. Loved the cream commercial. And the little boy who had an answer for what happened if the plane goes down. And Sarah had such beautiful thoughts.
Yeah.
Stretching.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of children, I found a couple things that are innocent and sweet. Let's see. My angel is my grandma, who died last year. She got a big head start on helping me while she was still down here on Earth. And that was from Ashley, age 9. And then this one really made me smile. All angels are girls because they got to wear dresses and the guys don't go for it. That was done by Antonio, who's also age 9. So,
we also heard from Melissa out in California.
Out in Sanger, yes. Hi.
It was her daughter who did the cream commercial recap. I just love that part. One of the things she said was she listened to podcast G, our Catholic Vitamins G, Gifts, and she loved how the lady viewed different things that happened in her life as gifts. It opened my eyes to different things in my life, and I could relate to as gifts from God. And she also said that, responding to the Amazing Catechist, Be an Amazing Catechist giveaway, I thought it would be a helpful book for my two older children. My son will be making his first communion next May. While both kids get a great religious education at school, I still try very hard to teach them about our faith at home. Sometimes it's not so easy since I didn't grow up Catholic. I'm still learning myself.
Well, they say there's no better way to learn the faith than by helping to teach the faith. And Lisa Mladnick's book, Be an Amazing Catechist, will be a great way to inspire the faith of your children.
And our friend Daniel in Illinois, he entered all of our giveaways.
Uh-huh.
And he also wrote in and said that song Spread Joy by Mike Strickland is awesome and joyful and wanted to thank us for that on the podcast. Well, speaking of joyful words, let's hear some from Cheryl and Peggy.
Greetings, Catholic Vitamins listeners. There's a mouthful right there. How are you today? This is Cheryl Deco, author of Our Jewish Roots. Once again, happy to join you, giving a Jewish roots perspective for the letter I. And I absolutely love doing these things and spending a little time researching, and there's always so many great things that we could be talking about. But for today, I selected the prophet Isaiah, and in particular, the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah was written around 740 to 680 BCE, before our beloved Savior, and is the first book of the later prophets, or the latter prophets. These are the books that are named actually after the prophets. So there's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and so on. Fittingly, Isaiah means salvation of God. The particular book has the most references or foreshadowing of Christ, in particular, if you want to open up to Isaiah sometime this week, chapter 11 is beautiful, and I want to read a couple words. It says, "But a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be the fear of the Lord." And it goes on. Just absolutely beautiful words in the book of Isaiah. Oftentimes they're chastising, but they also speak of God's love. He was the prophet mostly for the kingdom of Judah, which was the southern kingdom. And again, he was urging people to repent, to turn back to God, but he always had that promise of God's love. So it's really what the whole message is so applicable to us today, because it is about what happens when we become mired in sin and when we separate ourselves from God. So again, I just believe it's very relevant for us today as believers, as it was when he delivered it. So not only is it a message for repentance, but really that essence of God's love happens to exist in this book in one of my most favorite Bible verses, which is Isaiah chapter 49, the end of 15, the beginning of 16, which says, "I will never forget you. See, upon the palms of my hands I have written your name." And I thought that's a beautiful thing for us to keep in mind all week. Imagine our names written in the palms of God's hands. Have a blessed week.
Hi, I'm Peggy Bowes, author of The Rosary Workout. I hope you enjoyed today's Fitness for Faith segment. I'd like to talk about vitamin I, the incarnation. We are preparing for the arrival of the Word made flesh. Our Almighty God humbled himself by taking our human form in order to redeem us. He loves us that much. Although the weeks ahead will be busy and possibly stressful, we must keep our focus on Christ, the reason for the season. We often don't consider the fact that Jesus had to care for his earthly body. As a carpenter, he lifted heavy tools and worked with his hands. During his adult ministry, he walked over 3,000 miles. Jesus was also an accomplished hiker, as the Bible states repeatedly that he went up the mountain to pray. Our Redeemer had to be physically strong to endure the sufferings of his passion and crucifixion. We too must care for our earthly bodies in order to be strong enough to carry out the work that God has planned for each of us. During this Advent season, I hope you'll take time every day to physically and spiritually prepare for the Incarnation. God bless.
Well, there's nothing like Catholic vitamins from Cheryl and Peggy. Thank you, ladies, for your help on Catholic vitamins. Speaking of Cheryl, we still have, what, a week or two?
We still have another week to go for her drawing.
So
giveaway.
Yeah, if you're interested in a free copy of Cheryl's wonderful book, Our Jewish Roots, send in your name or call us, and we'll get you into the box.
We'll add it to the other names that are already there.
Yep. And we're working on arrangements with Peggy to do a free download version or two of
the Rosary Workout.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that. And so if you're interested in that, hang around Catholic Vitamins. We'll give you details soon once they get them worked out. We have some other news in a minute or two. But I think you had something to read there, and then...
Yeah, I think we're going to do our drawings. But first, we had an email from Jackie, a listener up in Washington State. We hadn't heard from her in a while, so it was nice to get her long email. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it was too long. But when she wrote this at the end of November, she said they were snowed in. She said, "We lived in Alaska for 4 years, and the driving was easier there somehow."
Wow.
She went on to tell us about how she slid in the car on the ice, and that was kind of scary because she had kids in the car with her. Be safe, Jackie, be safe. She also said, "P.S., I loved Catholic Vitamin I. Some of the quotes from little kids had me laughing out loud in the car."
Well, that was neat.
That was about the innocence.
Yeah. So that was like an I extra.
Yes.
And we're in the real I now. We have some giveaways to do, don't we?
We do. We're going to do our first drawing for Dee's Candies.
All right.
Got it?
Yeah, let me just say, folks, every week from now through the end of the year, we're doing a drawing for Dee's homemade candies. And I'm pulling this on you. Are we do we need to do two of these because we're kind of late getting this podcast out? Think about it. No? All right.
Well, if you said every weekend during November or December, yeah, maybe we should draw two.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go.
Because we didn't draw one last week when we did the Innocence Show.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Draw two.
All right. Here's the first one for Dee's Custom Creative Candies. Oh, Pat Padley. I don't believe Pat Padley.
I remember when Pat Padley emailed in, he says, I want candy.
Yeah, not even like, please put my name in the basket or the whatever. All right, Pat, you're in for Dee's Catholic Candies. I'm Catholic Candies. All right, and the second name.
Oh Greg Gorman.
Hey.
Great.
Well, we're glad to get those soon on the way.
So those are our first two candy winners.
All right.
Okay. And now we have a drawing for Be an Amazing Catechist.
All right.
Two names.
All right. Here we go. The first is Cindy Ellis. Wow. Hey, Cindy.
She's probably won more times than anybody that I know.
Well, faithful listeners get that.
Yeah.
And look who the other one is. Oh,
Melissa Bruce, and she wanted that book too.
All right. Well, we're really happy to respond with two copies of Be an Amazing Catechist. And I may have said this earlier in the show. We've been working at this on and off between painters and whatever. We know where one book is. We don't know where the other one is.
That's right. We got to find it. Oh, we got to find our Christmas list too. I haven't even started our Christmas card yet.
Oh, my heavens.
I don't know where the list is.
It drives Dee crazy if I have a messy desk. Well, we have a mess in the house.
Messy house. Oh, we don't know where anything is.
All right. Well, I think that is it for now. I have something new to talk about that I'd like to share with our listeners. Many of you may have seen in your churches or other churches you've visited a wonderful evangelization tool called Lighthouse Catholic Media. What they do is they provide CDs to churches and to chanceries, I guess, and other organizations where you might find Catholic audio material. And the CDs are by a lot of well-known, popular, and older established names. The material that they provide is for evangelization and catechesis and apologetics, defending the faith, but also some inspirational material, just like our show today has been about Catholic Vitamin I for inspiration. Dee and I bought a 4-CD Advent collection. Our friend Jennifer with Lighthouse Catholic Media had let us know about it, and we have 4 CDs, 4 different speakers, and Dee, we'll just share what we've been doing with this. In the evening, when we light our Advent calendar, when we're having our dinner.
Candle.
What did I say?
Calendar.
Oh, yes, Advent candle. Thank
Don't
you.
Don't burn the calendar.
Yeah, right. We've put on a CD, and the one we've been listening to have been 10 or 12-minute segments of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, the late great speaker.
Wonderful.
And we've made arrangements to kind of speak from time to time about Lighthouse Catholic Media, and they've given us permission to play some excerpts from some of their speakers from some of the CDs to help incent you to go to their website. You can do it by going to Catholic Vitamins, and there's a link that you'll find there that will take you to Lighthouse Catholic Media. And for today, what we'd like to do is to play a not too many minutes long segment of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen on Advent and the coming of Christ. So here from Lighthouse Catholic Media is the late Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen.
Throughout the course of history, there have been many who have appeared upon its stage and declared that they came from God and were messengers of God. At this stage of our inquiry, each and every one of them has a right to be heard. There's no reason why we should pick out Christ at this particular moment, any more than anyone else. But we do, however, have a right to suggest certain tests or standards by which each of these claimants can be judged. We simply cannot allow anyone to appear upon the stage of history and say, "Here I am. Believe me." Or, "This is a book which an angel gave me. I want you to read it. It comes from God." When we start a discussion of revealed religion, we are never to abdicate human reason, nor are we ever to lose sight of the fact that we are in history. Therefore, one of the arguments that we will use is what might be called the argument of prophecy or prediction. The argument from prophecy is really very simple. Just ask yourself, if any founder of a world religion or any innovator of a modern religion was ever pre-announced, no one knew that Buddha was coming, nor Confucius, nor Mohammed. But all through the centuries, there was some dim expectation that Christ himself was coming. In the Old Testament, we find that God seems to be making a covenant, a treaty, a pact, or a testament. We find this in the very beginning, that God enters into a treaty or a pact with Adam that involves all humanity. Adam was the head. Whatever he did. Then later on, God enters into a testament and a covenant with Noah. In these testaments and covenants, there are always promises and agreements on both sides. If one party remained moral, that was the human side, God on the divine side would give them blessings. Now, from the moment of the very first covenant and its breaking, God said that there would come the seed of a woman who would undo the work of evil. Now, this tradition is caught up not only among the Jews, but particularly among the prophets. After the treaty with Noah, God enters into a new treaty with Abraham, whom he calls from the land of Ur. And he promises Abraham, "I am going to make you the founder of a people. They will be the people of God." Later on, these people are led into bondage in Egypt. A new treaty, pact, covenant, is made with Moses. They break it. It is renewed again. And then finally there begin to come now prophets. And these prophets say that into this people of God there will one day come a Savior and a Redeemer. Here now we are speaking not just about a people that continue a tradition, who have an expectation of a Savior, but we are speaking now of many details that were given concerning that particular person. A Jewish scholar who became a Christian and who knew very well the Old Testament and all of the traditions of the Jews said that at the time of Christ, the rabbis had gathered together 456 prophecies concerning the Messiah, the Christ, the conqueror of evil, who was to be born of that long line of Israel and who was to enter into a new covenant with mankind. 456 prophecies. Suppose the chances of any one prophecy, like the place that he would be born, was 1 in 100. That is to say, it had that chance of being fulfilled. Then if two prophecies were fulfilled, the chances would be 1 in 1,000. If three prophecies were to coincide in Christ, that would be 1 in 10,000. If four, 1 in 100,000. If five, 1 in 1,000,000. Now, if all of these prophecies were fulfilled in Christ, what would be the chance of them all concurring at the appointed moment, not only in place, but also in time, as was foretold by the prophet Daniel? Well, if you take a pencil and write on a sheet of paper 1, then draw a line beneath it, then under the line, write 84, and after 84, if you have time, write 126 zeros. Now, that is the chance of all of the prophecies of Christ being fulfilled. You see, it runs into millions and millions, trillions and trillions. And when Christ appeared, he said, I am the one whom the prophets foretold. In other words, I'm not just coming here on the stage of history. You have heard of me before. That is one of the reasons why, for example, Herod was not surprised that the Messiah was born. The rabbis told him. They knew the prophecies. He knew he was to be a king, the new king of mankind, therefore he wanted to kill him. And then when our blessed Lord had reached the age of about 30, one day he walked into his synagogue of Nazareth. And the clerk of the synagogue handed him, as the village carpenter, a scroll of the prophet Isaiah's. And he began to read off a passage of Isaiah's about what the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ would be like. Namely, his meekness, his gentleness, how he would bind up wounds, how he would forgive, how he would release captives. And the audience listened with rapt attention. Then he said, this day is sacred scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the Savior of the world.
It's so great to hear the voice of the late Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. That was a brief segment from The True Meaning of Christmas, one of the four Lighthouse Catholic Media CDs, which we ordered, Dee, you and I did, for our Advent listening. And if you are interested in getting CDs for yourself, individual CDs, or bundles like we did, you can go to our website, and there's a link there that you can click on to go to Lighthouse Catholic Media. And you might even consider talking to your pastor in your parish. And if there's a chance that he'd consider putting in a whole bunch of their CDs, you can contact Lighthouse Catholic Media or contact Jennifer, the lady that we worked with. And we thank Lighthouse Catholic Media for allowing us to play over time some of the selected segments of recordings from the CDs that they offer. All right, Dee, what else do we have?
I have Vita Scrabble clue for next time. Vitamin J ends in Y, has 7 letters. I think it's going to be easy.
How does it work, Dee?
anybody who's listening thinks they have a guess, you can email us at catholicvitamins@gmail.com or call our feedback line 206-350-3789 and just say you have a guess for Vitascrabble. And the correct guesses go in a basket and we draw one when we do our next podcast.
Okay, well, our special guest on this show has been Renee Bondi, such a lovely, inspirational woman, a great Catholic woman. I want to share a quick story before we close out. When I finished the interview and Renee and I were talking offline, she knows that I've had some operations on my vocal cords, which is why I sound a little raspy. Mm-hmm. And she just spontaneously said, "Do you mind if I pray over you?" And, you know, she couldn't put her hands out and touch me as you might in person, but she composed the most beautiful words and prayer. I mean, it was just awesome. She's a great, inspirational Christian woman. We're so glad that she joined us on this show. And we're going to close with her song, Mary, Did You Know, from her Christmas album.
I love that one.
Yeah, and she does a beautiful job on it. We'll do that after we do our closing. So do we have anything else to do here?
No, just leave us a review on iTunes and go over to Friends of Facebook, Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, and join up as a member. You'll get the first notice of things that we have to announce when you're part of that group.
I think we do have one more thing. I'm going to send you over to get the calendar.
Okay, I've got it. Our daily meditation calendar. This is an Advent meditation. Do we really desire the Lord? To desire something is to be constantly absorbed in that desire. This Advent, we should go deeply into our hearts, minds, and souls. Let us clean house and make a loving manger for the Christ child, into which he can be born in all his splendor.
That's from Catherine Doherty, isn't it?
It is.
From Madonna House. Well, thank you, dear, for the Vitaminute. And, you know, the summary statement for what the meditation you just did is, come, Lord Jesus. And that's what we're praying for us and for all those who listen to Catholic Vitamins. I guess we should say goodbye. We're late on getting the show out.
Very late.
And we're a little long on the show itself. But we thank you for being a listener to Catholic Vitamins. And we are in prayer for you this Advent.
Have a blessed Advent. Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
the pain.